The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came, swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our daily devotions this week, we were reminded how the early Christians had a sense of real anticipation. 2,000 years later, and we will profess this anticipation in our worship from time to time when we declare, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." It is the "Christ will come again." It's that part that we can find ourselves obsessing over for all the wrong reasons, or have apathy for the situation for all the wrong reasons as well. If we think we got it all figured out, we're clueless. We're not focused on the tasks at hand. We might be asleep. But if we're ambivalent, we also might be clueless and also asleep, not paying attention, walking around in a kind of fog. So they can be two sides of the same coin, obsessing over when Christ is coming and being ambivalent to the second coming. I know there are many times in my life growing up where my parents told me to wake up. I wasn't sleeping, right? They said, "Wake up. You're not paying attention. You're not focused on what you need to be focused on, what you need to be mindful of in the moment." When we're not focused, when we're distracted and caught up in that fog, we can very well be asleep. Very well be asleep when it comes to hearing, receiving, and sharing God's promise with the world. Ron Starenko says that sleeping to escape or not being able to sleep in order to escape might both be forms of faithlessness. Both might reflect an inability to trust God, an unwillingness to trust God. What we are missing in the present and with great anticipation for the future is how Christ is present with us now. How the love of Jesus is present in your life and in our world right now, and how the promise of God that we hold on to is coming to us and promises a bright future in the world to come. For those of you that were here a few Christmases ago, I shared a story about myself and two other pastors sitting at Bob Evans working on our Christmas Eve sermon. And I remember there was this waitress that I got to know, was talking to her throughout the year. She'd recently become a Christian. And me and my pastor friends were wondering, what else
Now, I've only been ordained 11 years, so this is earlier, right? We're all like, what else can we say about Luke's Christmas story? The waitress comes to our table, and she said, and I said to her, "This is your first Christmas as a Christian, isn't it?" And with excitement, she said, "Yes." Here we were, pastors, taking this story for granted. It was these new eyes of faith that was able to witness to us with such joy and excitement the promise of a Savior who comes to us. Note the irony, though. Three pastors, shepherds, needed a messenger, angel translate as messenger, to share, to announce this good news and go and share this promise with other people. The joy of that waitress reminds me of what we hear today in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. "For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." She told us at the table that people around her were just trying to get through the holidays, and they couldn't wait till it was over. And she keeps telling them, "Don't you understand how wonderful this all is?" Everyone around her, including three pastors, were caught up in a fog, distracted and clueless, asleep. But it was her joy and love and witness that called us to wake up to the promise and love of God that is all around us. When we are in our clueless, fog-like sleep, we're essentially lifeless because we're not leaning into what it means to be part of God's new creation. We're not living into the promise of the new life that we have in Jesus Christ, a new way of being a human being in this world. We don't hear the news, we don't hear the promise, and we allow darkness in the world to cover that joy with distraction and apathy. Rather than being people awake and alert to the promise of God, we try to resurrect lifeless things on our own. We want things to just be as they are or as they were. It's easy to function as a lifeless people with our mission to keep lifeless endeavors on life support or attempt to resurrect things that have died. Yet when our mission is to embody the joy of God's promise, we're not a lifeless people. And new life can be experienced in all the things that we do when the mission isn't about our endeavors, but about sharing the joy of God's promise. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, verse 12, "The night is far gone." And that's good news, because it's through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can rejoice in knowing that through the cross, our Lord has triumphed over evil and death in this world. The promise of the power of the cross enables us to be awake, alive, and not dead. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. Paul here is referring to the second coming, the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first advent, we celebrate God's redemption for the world. In the second advent, we await with anticipation the new heaven and the new earth, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. When we trust in God's promise, we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says in our lesson today. We are brought to new life and are continually reminded of God's promise in the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of holy communion. Worship that is centered around word and sacrament helps us to be awake, alert, and prepared to receive all of God's promises. And we can cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, as Paul writes in Romans. And if salvation is nearer to us now, then we are to be a joyful people. Not a grumpy people, bemoaning how things used to be. Not a fearful people, which quite frankly projects a belief in a God who is small and powerless. A joyful people, sharing the promise and the hope that we have in this world. A joyful people, sharing the love of Jesus with all the people that we encounter. A loving people, awake and alert to the needs of our neighbor, so that they may see Christ coming to them through the love that we share with them, and that we would see Christ in them, in the relationship that we are forming with them. We are free. When we are free, we are awake, we are alert, and we are active. In our devotions this week that reflected on our gospel lesson from Matthew, we're not only given permission, but are relieved that we don't have to know everything. That we don't have to know the day or the hour. We're not expected to know everything. We're expected to be awake, alert, and active. I love how Mark Yours puts it. Matthew's Jesus has an eye on what is to come and believes something decisive is going to happen in the future, but he keeps attention focused on the present day and the needs of the hour. We find this in the manner in which he directs people to the field, the mill, the daily grind, the ordinary places of human endeavor where life is lived. The region of the mundane is where faithfulness happens, and it's not to be neglected. Biblical faith knows it does not know everything, but it does know that it's called to do something here and now. Some have interpreted Matthew as trying to determine when they would be able to escape this world. Some within that group have removed themselves from the world and trying to figure out just when it would happen. Others have sadly tied a message of fear and not hope to God's promise. But Paul's letter to the Romans and these words from Matthew's gospel are reminders and invitations to not fall asleep, not be clueless to God's abiding presence in the world. And it is in your daily work, in the vocations that God has called each of us to, in the activities that are sacred and mundane, that we know God is present. We say that God is our Emmanuel. What does that mean? God is with us. Always. We're not asked to know everything, but we're asked to trust in God's promises. We are not to fall asleep, but keep awake and alert, and that means our attention will be on where God is calling us to serve our neighbor and to be good stewards of all God's creation. That image in Matthew's gospel is a beautiful image. People are going about their daily work. Go out into the world and do what God has called you to do. And through the witness of your life, may you share the love of Jesus. Because our daily life bears witness to God's second advent. May we be faithful in all that we do. And may the love of Jesus that is shared in word and deed offer a glimpse of the hope that we have. And the trust that we have in God's promise of the kingdom that is here and the kingdom that is to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.